Everybody, welcome back to another Nerds and Squares podcast presented by BP Fun. I'm the host of the most, Captain Zeus, followed by DP and our guest here, Mahone Capone. Say hi to the folks, Mahone.
What is going on, everybody? Hope you're doing well this evening.
Should I say Mahone or like Mahone Capone or MC? Like, how do you want to go by?
Yeah, Mahone's fine. Mahone Capone, whatever.
MC Hammer, got it. And so today, so we have a Walking Dead topic today for this podcast episode, because I know there's the new series, right? It's a series, right? Yeah.
With I would hope so.
Yeah, because for some reason I was thinking it was going to be a movie, but if I remember correctly, it might be how it started off as a movie.
The new series. Originally, it was supposed to be a movie with the newest series, but mm-hmm. they ended up being like, it would probably be better as a series, which I agree.
Yeah, it's The Ones We Left Behind, if I'm not... Yep, yeah.
I think it's The Ones Who Lived.
The Ones Who Lived. I'm getting everything jumbled, guys.
Close enough.
I was really close. I mean, I think the former would have sounded better, personally, but... Yeah, it's that new series that came out, and so we decided, let's kind of reminisce on the past of The Walking Dead. How we got to this point? And, just some of our feelings, if we have them, for this genre of nerd, if you will. Zombie horror genre, yeah. We go into that, yeah. I think it's a genre. I'm making it one if it's not already. I'll go ahead and just start this ramble off, because... Last time I bring in topics to podcasts, we don't cover any of them, and we just start rambling on about lotions and, MCU Brokeback Mountain, and that's not what we're here to do today. We're here to talk about The Walking Dead, and, so I have to rewatch the whole series. Reason being is because we're going to be doing a comic book versus TV show comparison for The Walking Dead. Each season will be a video, and so I do have to go back and rewatch all of them. I was rewatching the first season and comparing it to the comics. I was like, wow, this is rough. How did I freaking watch this first? Like, the first season is so boring, and it ruins so many characters, and it's just so bad, in my opinion. It was just so bad. Obviously, Rick was... one of the saving graces. John Bernthal's Shane, another saving grace of the season. Those two characters and Daryl. Those three really carried that whole season. Carried the crap. Honestly, they kind of carried the show, in my opinion, too.
One second, though. Keep in mind, though, Daryl was not a character in the comics.
That's true. His character did not exist.
But it's like, where the fuck did Daryl come from?
I think it's the best part is that this show, because a lot of times in shows when they make a original character, they're either not good or just kind of there. They're not exactly...
Yeah, it's like a filler.
Exactly. They're not a prominent character, not someone that's like going to be fan loved as much as Daryl. And I think it honestly comes down to mainly the portrayal of Norman Reedus, because you can put other actors in that role, and I don't think they'd do it as well as him.
I agree.
Yeah, I was just rewatching that first season, and I was like, man, this is so rough. I couldn't even write any notes down. It was really hard to pay attention. I have to go back and re-watch it, actually, because I put a pause on it and then started like binge-watching a bunch of anime to kind of like flush my brain out of that. But I mean, when I first watched the show just like consecutively, it was all the way up into the Negan saga. Or the end of the Negan War, I should say. And honestly, there were ups and downs, right? Andrea was one of the most annoying characters in existence compared to her counterpart, and just in general. Carol was pretty much a huge upgrade compared to her comic counterpart, right? Negan could not have been perfectly casted any more than how he was. Honestly, I could say even the governor was... you couldn't find a better governor to play that role. Even though his story was kind of meh, casting was on point. The acting was on point. And I think that's some of the best things about this show. It's AMC, right? You don't really think AMC is going to come out with great acting, with great storytelling, even if it's based off of comics, right?
But really, though? Breaking Bad? I mean, come on.
I mean, to be fair, you're right, but that is an original thing, I'm not mistaken. So,
and I think the acting was incredible on that show.
They have some great actors in there.
We're here to talk about Walking Dead, not Breaking Bad. But
true. I guess I kind of like, I used to compare AMC to like CW in that, and in the sense of like with okay. their content. And CW yeah, came out with some decent ones. Arrow was good, right? I loved Arrow. Yeah. Flash Arrow was great. Used to be good, right? Up until like halfway through the series, and then we got freaking lightning sabers. And then, you know, there's a bunch of other garbage shows. But the point is like The Walking Dead, I didn't go past the Negan or the Negan War just because like I kind of just was done. It was a great point to stop. And compared to the comic, where I could keep reading, I was so invested. The show was like, dude, this is it. I don't see them doing anything more. I don't want to see anything more, especially since I knew, oh, Carl's gone. Shouldn't be. Rick is gonna be gone. He shouldn't be. He's literally the goat.
The main character.
Yeah, he's literally the main character. And yeah. I'm just like, dude, The Walking Dead, if just comparing it or like from the first season to the that season that I ended it on, it has upgraded tremendously. Not only with like the visuals, but with the acting, with the cast, even the story, like the original story, like the cannibal arc was a lot shorter in the comics than it was in the show. The show was a whole season. And not only was it super good, it expounded on that middle ground arc where they're going to Alexandria, but they're savage, right? It expounded that savage nature in them, in my opinion. So I was just like, dude, it's just reflecting on it. I was like, dude, I loved the consistent upgrade of this series. Ah, dude, I kind of want to go back and just watch some of those now, those episodes.
So I do want to touch base on the, you know, the cannibal portion of it, that season where they go and they find that group who seems harmless, you know, for the beginning part. Mm-hmm. And then obviously it ended with, what the hell was his character's name? Bob? Was
yeah. name
Bob?
Bob.
Where he was like, tainted meat. So I love that. The only thing that irks my soul that obviously now would be a much different, because if you have caught up and you've watched the new Rick and Michonne series, they don't give a shit about cuss words and stuff like that, whereas before they kind of cared about it. But now with AMC Plus and stuff, it's more like streaming based. They don't really care about you know cussing and all that kind of stuff. But they filmed a couple extra scenes, like alternate versions of scenes. And there's a scene where they're stuck in like a train cart. They're like in a train and they're kind of stuck and they're like chained in there. And Rick's kind of like giving them, you know, trying to hype them up, like, you know, everything's going to be all right. And they're like, well, how do you know, Rick? And Rick said in the show, they said they messed with the wrong people is what he said in the show. But the alternate version of that and how it was in the comics was they fucked with the wrong people and they should have put that in the show. I don't care if you even bleep it out, because we all know. I mean, when you watch TV shows like Family Matters, Friends, you know, all that kind of like watered down real life situations, we all know we cuss. We say shit. We say ass. We say bitch. We say whatever. And when you watch TV shows and they don't use any of those words, it's kind of like, is that real life, though? Like, you know, I want to say at least 75% of people cuss a little bit, at least. So, like, when he was like, oh, they messed with the wrong people, I'm like, he didn't really keep it to the source material, but it is what it is. But since they reshot it as the way it was intended in the comics and the way it was delivered, that was so much better than, you know, how they tried to change it and how it was portrayed on the show, obviously. But when he was like, they fucked with the wrong people, I was like, yes, they did. Let's do it. Fucking kill all these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you didn't know that they were bad people until obviously then you knew they were bad people. But it was like, let's do it. Fucking let's get it over with. And it was the same thing like when Negan came in, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Man crush. I have a man crush on Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He was, you know, he was awesome in Grey's Anatomy. He was awesome in fucking Supernatural. He was awesome in, you know, The Watchmen, whatever. But he was born to play Negan. Like, he fucking blew this character out of the water. Like, he, like, embraced this character. And the very first scene that he's introduced and the group is in the line and he's outside, he comes out of the trailer, and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is what I envisioned reading this fucking graphic novel. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. And once he started talking and he wasn't using the dialogue that was in the comics, I was like, oh, come on, man, like, be real with it. But then, you know, there was, I think there was like a DVD or a Blu-ray that came out where they did the scene that was exactly verbatim of the graphic novel. And I was like, come on, that's what should have aired on AMC, dude. If I would have saw that, I would have been like, holy fuck, god damn, this is amazing. You know what I mean? Because like, he just became that character and I was just like, oh, this is amazing. But you know, it is what it is. I get it. You know, there's, you know, it's AMC. There's, you know, I'm sure there's probably kids trying to watch or whatever, but
they shouldn't be watching, to be fair.
They shouldn't. You know, at the end of the day, they should not be watching a show about, you know, it's not about zombies. That's the thing that like gets under my skin, because like, yes, The Walking Dead, there's zombies, there's walkers, there's biters, or whatever the fuck you want to call them. At the end of the day, though, it's about humanity. It's about what will human beings do if the world actually ended the way we knew it? How would they progress? Are people going to be still the same, happy-go-lucky, trying to like help their family? Or are they going to just do some crazy shit just because they could do some crazy shit? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a lot of crazy shit where like there's riots that happen for whatever reason. There's people breaking into stuff. There's people doing X, Y, or Z. I'm sure that's what's going to happen when the world basically ends. You know, so it's more or less like you're the Walking Dead because you are the one trying to get through this life and trying to fight off zombies. You're trying to fight off people who may have been gym teachers at one point, but now they're like fucking psychopaths with baseball bats wrapped in barbed wire. You know, so you're trying to like combat all these different things. And I wish they would have taken a little bit more, I don't want to say liberties, but
dystopian vibes,
make it a little bit more realistic. But that's what DVDs are for. That's what Blu-rays are for. And yeah, but
well, I'll say, speaking of DVDs, I have the entire collection. I still have to collect the last three seasons for it, and I have like almost all the Fear the Walking Dead. I have World Beyond, Dead City, Daryl Dixon. I love Walking Dead personally. I agree to what Zeus said. The first season, it's definitely very, very slow. Watching it for the first time, I personally really liked it. I was like, oh, okay. Well, the interesting thing was I was introduced to Walking Dead when I was way, 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 way young. Like, what, maybe like 10 years old, give or take, where my friend, my first friend ever that I was close with, he was watching it with his sister, his older sister. And we watched, I remember it like it was yesterday. First episode that I ever saw was The Farm, where Carol's daughter dies.
Oh.
Okay. She watched it like into the series. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a good episode to get into it, though. That was a fucking phenomenal episode. Cool.
I agree. And at first I was like terrified. Yeah, I was terrified. I was like, oh my God, zombies. Oh, I've never really watched zombie. I mean, like, I watched like Arthur on PBS Kids and, you know, all these other little kid shows and everything, you know, like I grew up on that. So I'm like, oh God, wow. What's like, what happened to his face? You know? But no, I watched the whole series. I absolutely love it. I was able to finish all the rest. I actually am watching the show with Lucky. And we are right now, we just finished season 5, where Rick actually killed the abusive husband of that one girl that he ends up dating. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Alexandria, like, yeah.
Yes, and I am like ecstatic for when Lucky and I get to the point of Negan, because that's my favorite era. I love.
Aren't you guys like Negan literally like 3 or 4 episodes away from that too?
I'd say so. Like,
because that's basically where the wall gets breached, right?
First by wolves, the wolves cult. and then that's like at the same time that they meet Morgan again after like the whole debacle that happened a few episodes ago or season two ago. So after all that happens, then I think they eventually meet like Negan's people, the Saviors, and then eventually get to like meet Negan himself. So like I guess like they'll be building the hype up until we see Negan, et cetera, et cetera. But personally, I tell people where I ask them like, hey, do you watch Walking Dead? And they say, yeah, I got past I got to the point of Negan and then just stopped. Or whenever Glenn died, whenever this character died, that's it. And I was like, okay, I understand it. But I implore you, watch the rest. It's so good. Literally, I think one of the scariest villains. Like, sure, we had the governor. The governor, hated him, but great actor. Like, even Lucky was like, man, screw this guy. He's just a disgusting person. But damn, I love his acting. And then, like, Negan's fantastic. And, like, all these other, you know, villains that we had were also fantastic, don't get me wrong, but I think the ones that scared me the most were the Whisperers. Seeing their introduction and then seeing, sorry for spoilers, when Jesus, we lose Jesus, I was so sad. It was scary how they introduced him. It's a fog, it's a whole foggy area at a like cemetery, and there's a whole flock of them, a flock of walkers just walking by, and then like one of them just comes out with a knife and stabs like Jesus. I'm like, I'm flabbergasted. What in the world is this? You know? And I'm like terrified. So then we go deeper into Alpha and Beta. Oh my God. I loved seeing Beta versus Daryl. I think that was awesome as hell. Such an awesome thing. I think Zeus, you would absolutely love that battle. Like Daryl with two Bowie knives and then Beta with like his like, oh, his machete. Oh my God. So awesome. But then you start seeing more of where they kind of go outside the comics, and that's where like Fear the Walking Dead comes in, that's where World Beyond comes in, where they have this government where they have electricity, they have a military, they have guns, they have everything that the, you know, that the real world before had. And then that's when everything's like starting to build up to just this massive battle where just there's a lot of drama going on. There's a lot of things that happen, and like, so many characters die, and this makes me sad. Whatever, whatever. So intense. But I promise you, it is so worth it. I know that it is a hassle sometimes for some of the episodes, some of the seasons, but personally for me, I love zombies, and yes, I do agree as well with what you were saying, where at this point, the zombies are just a nuisance. They're not even the real threat. It's the humans, which makes sense. Like, sometimes, yeah, there's walkers that are the threat. That's when there's a huge horde of them. But here's the other part that I mentioned to people that actually catch their interest, and I'm hoping that it will catch Zeus's interest even more. I don't know if you remember within the first season, around the first few episodes, you see walkers still, like, holding bricks, breaking them, breaking windows with bricks and stuff. So, around that last season, you start seeing walkers that can actually climb ladders and actually like hold things. Like, it's actually scary. Like
kind of World War Z zombies they got going on over there.
Basically, like the episode you see, like they're all like some of the main characters are hidden in a like clubhouse looking thing. And there's like a ladder and you see one of the walkers actually climb it and literally just like pop up and they're like, what the hell is this? Like that type of stuff. Awesome. And then what I saw too in Daryl, you see a runner zombie as well, which that's really scary too, after just seeing so many years of walkers, and then you just see this fool right here just running at you whatever. It's just crazy. But personally, I'm just a big fan of it. I'm obsessed with The Walking Dead. I love every aspect of it. I've played the games, the Telltale games. I have not played that, you know, garbage game that came out. You know the one I'm talking about, the one that made the Nickelodeon game, Nickelodeon fighting game.
I know the Nickelodeon fighting game, but which game is this that you're talking about?
Destiny's.
Destinies?
A game that had, yes, Walking Dead Destinies, where you can actually change the outcome of the series.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It's basically one of those predict your own adventure type of games, but
the trailers made
it, the trailers hyped it up like it was going to be this awesome thing, but when the game came out, oh god, it was
honestly
the voice acting was terrible, the graphics were trash. Like,
the trailer alone made it look really bad. Like, I don't know why people thought it looked good. I watched the trailer and I was like, dude, this looks retarded. Like, what the frick is this?
I think in our minds, because this is just me speaking, I always think of the different, like, what if they didn't kill Shane? Or what if they didn't do this? Or what if they didn't do that? And this was basically giving you the option to do one or the other. So it was, like, kind of cool as, like, as a concept. But it was not. I started playing it and I was just like, oh, this is bad.
Really, it makes me sad because this game has potential, but then they gave it to Game Mill Entertainment, which I'm pretty sure that they're the same company that made that King Kong game that came out. Like,
no.
I think it was so. Bad.
That one came out last year.
It gave the license to a garbage company and it pissed me off. They could have given it to AMC and just have their own little division of making games, or hell, just give it to Telltale Games or something like that, and they could do something fantastic with that. But they gave it to the company that literally ripped us off with the first Nick Battles game or whatever the heck it's called. Ugh, it had potential.
I would have then rather give it to EA instead of that company.
I honestly think EA could have done better. But regardless, I think that it was going in a good direction. I personally love the direction that they're going with these other shows. Like, we actually got to see in Dead City, as you saw, that we go to New York. We get to see how that looks like, you know, like after the apocalypse. We get to see Daryl go to a whole different country, which I was like, how the hell do you end up in France, my boy? What? Like, that makes no sense. And you see how it happens, etc. But it's still cool because you get to see the bigger aspect of what's going on in the world, not just with the main characters, but like just around the world, you know, different characters, and even bringing the same, like the main characters into that light, which I just love it. I love it. But I'm going to say this last thing. Have you guys ever thought what would happen if Shane lived? How do you think he would have handled Negan? Do you think he would have actually beat him in a one hand-to-hand combat?
He could have tried, but, I mean, he wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to. To be honest, I don't think he would have survived to Negan.
Really?
Yeah. I think Rick had Shane arcs, but the reason why Rick survived as long as he did was because he wasn't Shane. Like, Shane was... He was at the first season, like 10 steps ahead of Rick in terms of the survival mindset, right? And because of that, there could have been a lot of things avoided in terms of problems. However, when you get closer to the Alexandria arc, right, you realize like Rick is important. This is why he survived. It's this core element of his character that has got this group to survive as long as they have, without them becoming savages, without them becoming the next Negan, or without them all just dying because of stupidity. I mean, even when we got to the farm, Shane was... He basically, like, screwed himself over mentally, and then he started to discard people that he didn't deem useful, that he thought was, you know, someone that is discardable. Rick was never like that. He always thought of the group, and he did what he could to save everyone, no matter how new. Obviously, if he didn't trust them, That's a different story. But if you trusted them, they're part of your group. That's your responsibility. That's your family. And Shane didn't see it that way. And even when Rick was at the farm, they weren't exactly part of his group. They weren't exactly part of his family. They were there helping because of, you know, the incident with Carl. And he still was... had that same mindset with them as he did with his own same group. So I don't think Shane would have been able to survive to Negan. And if he did, I don't think he would have been with the group. I think he would have left, or he would have killed everyone or got everyone killed. And he probably would have joined Negan, if I'm being honest.
That's fair. Yeah, that's definitely fair. And another thing, actually, I did want to mention, since it's kind of funny that you brought it up, Andrea.
Wait, hold on. I want to hear what McCone thinks, too. Wait, hold on.
Go ahead. Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead.
So, I have a couple points, and I'm glad that you said something, because I was like, I was getting ready to say something, and then I said something. So
I was like, you looked like you wanted to say something.
But, so, a couple things. So, first and foremost, as far as Shane joining Negan, I personally also think that he would basically be Negan's, like, right-hand guy. He would have played that part. The weird thing about the whole Rick dynamic, because like you said, Rick was always about the group, about us, about, you know, saving people, and I want to get it back to the way it was. We kind of saw a little bit of him not doing that when we got to the prison, because if you remember that scene where there were prisoners in there, and they were kind of like, you know, at a standstill, and they were like, all right, well, let's like work something out. And they ended up fucking killing the prisoners for the most part, other than I think they like kept the one guy or whatever. But they killed most of the prisoners that were like trying to like hold them up or whatever. Old Rick wouldn't have done that. He would have been like, oh, well, let's all group together and let's, you know, figure something out or whatever. But he also evolved as time went on. But I mean, if you think about it, though, like personally, yes, I have like friends and people that I love that are not my family, but that's in non-conflict type of situations. If there was a world where we had an imminent threat and we had to do whatever we could to save our loved ones, I mean, I'm sorry, but myself, my wife, and my kids are more important than anybody else I know. So I don't care if I've known you for 20, 30, 40 years, whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, if you're causing an issue and making it to where my wife and my kids are not going to survive, then you got to go. I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, it's either you or me and my family. And I would choose me and my family any day of the week. So with that being said, you started seeing some of that in Rick as time went on. He was like, well, dude, I have my two kids. I have the woman that I want to be with, you know, for the foreseeable future, which is Michonne at that point. So you did see that. He was just like, you know, I'm here for the community, but at the end of the day, if, you know, my immediate family is at risk, then fuck everybody else. I just want to make sure that, you know, the ones who I really care about are saved. Now, I saw this online. I always thought about it, but I never put like too much thought into it. But what if from the beginning of all of this, we followed Negan the entire time? He was a gym teacher. He tried to help, you know, mold the minds of a young generation. His wife dies of cancer. You know, he calls the Bat Lucille at some point and all that. He's trying to build a community himself. And then all of a sudden, because if you think about it, Rick and his group went to their like little like satellite posts or whatever and murdered people while they were sleeping, essentially. He went in there and started fucking killing people while they were asleep. So what if we followed... I just knocked my microphone over, sorry. What if we followed Negan from the beginning and we watched this group just all of a sudden come in and murder people while we were sleeping? I personally think we would have been on the side of Negan at that point. If we watched him from the beginning, you know, saw him, you know, teaching kids in high school, being a gym teacher, his wife dying of cancer, he was trying to do what he could, and then we get to the point where he's like building the community and he's being the, you know, the leader of the community, aka Rick, because he's the leader of his community or group or whatever. And then all of a sudden Rick's group's coming in and fucking murdering people while they're sleeping, and then it's just like, I wonder if that would be, if we flipped it to the other side, would we still feel the same way that we do now watching Rick from the beginning? I don't know. I've always wondered that. Like, maybe I would like to see an alternate universe watching it from the other side, because maybe we'd feel differently.
But there is an episode. I don't know how far you've gotten. How far have you gotten with Walking Dead again? Like, you got
to... I've watched all of Walking Dead beginning to end. I've watched some of Beyond.
Okay.
I've watched two or three seasons of Fear. I watched the whole Daryl season. I watched like half of Dead City, and I've watched all of the newest season, what Rick and Michonne so far.
Okay, well, if you remember, around the time after Negan becomes like a good guy, mm-hmm. we actually do see his backstory. You remember that?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I actually really love seeing that because it, you're right, it did change the perspective of how I saw Negan, where I was like, okay, like, wow, like, he's gone through a lot of things. And I can understand it's not good how he went about certain things. He could have like done things differently, but I can understand why he was a dick at times. And he even acknowledges being a dick as well. So still seeing that perspective where he did do some good things while still being a bad guy. And even then, I would personally say that rather than him being a completely evil person, yes, he did kill Glenn, he did kill Abraham in brutal fashions, but I could say that he's like almost a respectable villain, unlike the governor who he actually molested like people before. And Negan literally killed his own henchmen because they tried to rape Sasha. And he literally said, we don't do that here. Puts a machete through his neck. And I'm like, wow, okay. So he's a bad guy, but he actually is like has common decency to an extent. So it's kind of like mixed feelings on him for some reason.
I want to hear what Zeus has to say because he's been like putting his finger up like for the last like 15 minutes. I got to say something.
I do want to say something. I just didn't want to like intrude on you guys' thoughts.
Oh, go ahead. Obviously, go ahead.
It was nice hearing them. But like in regards to the Negan alternate timeline, I don't think I would still feel the same as I do with Rick, mainly because one, I think Rick's moral compass is too strong. It's way stronger than Negan's, right? I mean, he was literally a cop in the South, right? Like that's about as American as you can get sometimes. And true. Negan was a freaking gym coach who was cheating on his wife. You're already starting off on two different starting points, right? And then yes, Rick did kill people. Yeah, he did kill people pretty badly, ripping out their throats or just straight murking them right next to him. However, it was never in a selfish or effed up reason. It was always for the good of the group or the direct people next to him that are in danger. Meanwhile, Negan is burning people's faces and taking their women as his wives, essentially holding people captive. And it's the two different avenues of fear and hope. And we obviously saw which one won out in the end. And yeah, sure, he might have been close to some, but he was not close to all of those guys. Heck, he didn't trust 99% of the people that was with him. Rick is not that way. Rick trusts everyone in his group. If he didn't trust them, they weren't in his group, or at least in his close circle. And his close circle was essentially his whole group. And I'm just like, it would be cool to see it, but I don't think it would have been well. I don't think a lot of people would be into it, obviously, if they actually made this to a show or a movie, whatever the case. But I don't think this would have affected anything about the character, which does go into kind of what DP was saying in terms of the morality of characters. In the comics, there is a lot more black and white in terms of not just the coloring, of obviously, but just the morality of characters. But in the show, it's so gray. Almost everyone is morally gray. There's not a single full good or full evil person in the show. Even the governor, who in the comics is pretty effed up. Like, he R-worded Michonne for a week while beating the crap out of her and had Glenn listen to it the whole time. In the show, he doesn't do any of that. He teases that he might do something to Maggie, but he doesn't actually do anything. Right? That's the worst he got. And he always did stuff, yeah, for like his daughter that he was trying to help, or just for the community in general. And yeah, he was kind of like a prick, but so was Negan. Negan was, in the show, arguably worse than the governor. And yeah, I'm sure he had a redemption arc, but it's not like no one in the show, except for maybe the cannibals. But even then, it's tough because the cannibals had a sound reason as to why they were doing things. The end of the world. Food is hard to come by. And the best source of food is those that are coming at you. And it's humans, right? Yeah, it's terrible to do, but it's also like in a dystopian world, it's somewhat understandable. And that's the thing about the show is the show was like, you can understand why everyone's doing everything. in the comics, you don't want to understand, or you don't understand why everyone is doing everything. So, I mean, that's another huge difference I noticed from the comics to the show, is the show is more black. I'm sorry, the show is more gray and more, you could argue complex, but the comics are way more black and white. Excuse me, way more black and white for the most part.
Yeah, now, keep in mind, in the comics also, the governor had an eye patch and a mullet, whereas in the show, he had short hair and he gets
his eye patch. You know,
portrayed well, yeah, he did. He did end up getting the eye patch, but he was portrayed by an actor who was British. So,
I mean, even so, even if you had that character look the same, it still would have been the same in terms of the character arc and the story.
Now, because I'm thinking about it now, and that's the great thing about television and movies. Like, when you see it when it happens, you're like, "Whoa, holy shit!" But you know. Sometimes you don't watch that stuff over and over again. Obviously, when you see some movies that you like really like, you're like, oh, I'll watch it a couple times. But even TV shows that you really like, I mean, who's got the time to sit through like 10 seasons of a TV show again? I mean,
once totally, a blue moon maybe. Totally not but, me about to do that.
But like, I haven't revisited Walking Dead like in its totality full entirety from beginning to end in a while. But I just remember... the scene that got me was when they were outside of the prison and they ended up fucking cutting Herschel's head off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was a brutal fucking scene. And it pulls at your heartstrings. You know what I mean? Like, you watch these people for so long for multiple episodes. And if the writers are doing their job, I mean, they're writing them with depth of the characters to where you start feeling for these characters. And when stuff like that happens where, you know, Herschel gets his head cut off or Carl ends up dying, which is weird because when you read the comics, Carl doesn't die. He ends up being basically Rick in the future. You know, spoiler alert, sorry, if you haven't read the comics. The TV show came out in 2010. So if you haven't read the comics yet, then I don't know. What
to the entire comic series is him telling his daughter the story of
it's Carl, you know, basically telling his kids like how his dad was like, you know, the man or whatever.
He was him.
So the fact that they went, you know, in an opposite direction kind of threw me for a loop, but which is good though, because I don't want it to be verbatim what's in, you know, the source material, because, you know, you want some points to be how it was, and they did that for a little while, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I want some kind of holy shit moments, almost like kind of how wrestling was back in the day, where, you know, you'd be like, holy shit, this person lost. I wasn't expecting that. Or holy shit, this person returned and it wasn't spoiling on fucking Twitter or whatever. Whereas now, like, I already know who's coming back like months before it happens, or I know who's going to win. Or I've been watching wrestling so long that, I'm just like, all right, well, this guy's going to win. It's, you know, it's been how they've been doing it for years. But like, when it comes to TV shows, before there was internet, before there was Twitter, before there was social media in whole, you watched it as it happened and you were like, holy shit, XYZ died, or holy shit, this happened. And I personally always got mad, because even though I love Daryl as a character, I knew he wasn't in the comics, and I knew how much the general audience, I'll call them, loved him and like brought him into the Walking Dead universe. I always kept on saying to myself, which is fucked up, I probably shouldn't even say this, but I was just like, I hope he dies at some point. Because me, as a writer, as a director myself, that's what I would do. Because that's the oh shit moment that you want from an audience. Yes, they're going to be pissed off. There's a lot of people that stopped watching Walking Dead, my wife included, when fucking Negan killed Glenn and then killed Abraham. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but that's exactly how Glenn died in the comics. And Abraham died a different way, but who cares? He died regardless, so you might as well just fucking whatever. You know, it wasn't like it was like a major thing, like he was alive at the end. Like, they didn't kill Carl or something. I mean, that would have been a little bit different, because if you read the comics and then Carl got his head fucking bashed in by Negan in that episode, you'd be like, what the fuck? You know, Carl was the, like, basically the main character at the end. But they were disposable characters, in my opinion. Even though I loved Glenn as a character, and Abraham was, it depends. I love the actor who portrayed Abraham. I think he did a great job, but his character's wishy-washy, I guess. I don't know, whatever. But my wife, when the episode ended, she was just like, I don't even want to watch this anymore. And I'm like, why? Because I really loved Glenn, and I can't believe they killed him. Exactly! Like, that's what television is. You want those moments. You want that holy shit moment. I want to know, as a viewer, that all bets are off. Every person could be killed at any time. Because then you'll be caught off guard. You will have no... Holy shit, I just dropped my mic again. Animated. You won't know exactly what's happening. And that's what makes great television. That's what great makes great movies. You want to be surprised. I don't want to know, and I don't want it to be predictable the entire time I'm watching a TV show or a movie. Because how... That's not fun, or that's not exciting, or that's, you know... I want to be surprised. I want to be like, holy fuck, they killed that person, or holy shit, that person did that, or, you know, I want to be surprised by that, because that means that the writers are doing their job. And if it, you know, if it's super predictable, or I know exactly what's going to happen, then it just takes the fun out of it. You got to realize, the world has ended. There's zombies. There's no government. There's, you know, there's no law. All bets are off. Anybody could die. Anything could happen. So you need to create a show like that. Because if you make it to where everybody stays alive the entire time and there's law that happens when there's no law, then you're just like, what's the point? Why even make it where it's a zombie apocalypse and the government has collapsed? You might as well just left it in the real world.
That's what I thought about Rick dying as well, where like I was like, man, if they... Because I thought for a second that they killed him off, like, the first time seeing it. And I was like, man, if they kill him off, God knows who else they could kill just like that. Like, who knows if Daryl could be next, Michonne. Because, like, pretty much right after. So yeah.
I mean, because... Like, but listen, I've hung out with Norman Reedus in person. Like, I've eaten fucking roast beef sandwiches and drank beer with a guy at a horror movie convention 2 years in a row before the year before Walking Dead came out and the year that Walking Dead came out, he was popular, obviously, for Boondock Scenes. Mm-hmm. I hung out with him during that time period, and he's an awesome human being. He's fucking awesome to hang out with. He's awesome to talk to. He's super personable. I would have, you know, I'm happy for Norman as a human being, as an actor. I'm glad that he has been in this whole, you know, from season one until now. He's got his own fucking show. I mean, that's awesome. I'm so happy for him. He's making money for him and his family. But at the end of the day, I'm always like, come on, kill the fucking character off, because I know how much fucking shit that it'll cause. Whether it be people being like, holy shit, I wasn't expecting that to happen. That's awesome. Or people who are obviously going to fucking cause an uproar. How dare you kill Daryl? Whatever. But dude, at the end of the day, it's a fucking horror television show. It's about zombies. It's about the apocalypse. It's about no law. All bets are off. So you should not form a bond with all of these characters, because you never know. Anybody could die. And I've always been like, come on, kill Daryl. I love him as a person, as the actor, but fucking kill the character, because I know it'll just cause mass chaos.
And you know what it is, like, it's awesome, not just the chaos, but the viewership that they would worry about, because, like, you don't even see these shirts nowadays. I mean, like, years ago I would see shirts that say, like, if they kill Daryl, we will riot type
thing. Riot, yeah.
I believe it. Like, I would riot if I saw Daryl die, but it's also the viewership that they're worried for too.
I think with me, though, because I've been a wrestling fan legitimately my entire life as well, I've seen that even in wrestling. With John Cena, when he went into ECW One Night Stand and was facing Rob Van Dam, and it was ECW's night, and there were signs in the audience saying, if John Cena wins, we riot. You know, people are going to feel that way. I mean, people feel that way about sports. Like, if your favorite team is in the championship of, like, the Super Bowl, for instance, you know, obviously you're going to feel very passionate about it. Well, if the fucking, you know, so-and-so loses the Super Bowl, fuck that. You know, football's rigged, you know, whatever the case may be. Everybody's passionate about something. So, you know, that backlash is going to happen. And, you know, with TV shows, or, I mean, I don't know if either of you watched Sons of Anarchy, but, like, you know, Sons of Anarchy, there's a prominent character that dies at some point in, you know, in their show. And everybody fucking lost their minds when this character died. And it's like, but it's a part of the show. It's about a fucking motorcycle club who was dealing with drugs and fucking guns. And, you know, obviously that shit's going to happen. You know, it's a part of the storytelling. And, you know, I get it. Everybody, you know, is going to be upset about, you know, you can't please everybody. I mean, that's just the end of the day. You know, you're not going to be able to make everybody happy. But, you know, sometimes you got to have stakes or else the show's going to get boring. If you just watch it, and you're like, well, all the main characters are going to live and I don't give a shit about the side characters. So whatever.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. Actually, speaking of side, Ubi counter as a side character, Andrea, I wanted to hop on that train real quick.
Logan, go ahead.
Oh my God.
I'll say my piece afterwards.
In the
comics,
she wasn't a side character, but they made her a side character in the TV show.
Okay. See,
she was good in the comics.
She was very good in the comics.
It's kind of funny where I don't know what it is, but like she has just a face that just.
A punchable face?
I'm glad she has a face. That would be concerning.
She just has a resting face. That's just.
Oh, RBF?
Yes.
She's a resting face.
Okay, it's like at first seeing her in the show, I was like, oh, you know, she's attractive. She's a good character so far. And then I see her like annoying side and I'm like, okay, I feel that she would be like a jerk in real life. And come to think of it, the last Comic-Con that I went to, I met her, and it's exactly what I predicted it would be. I asked this woman, I said, listen, I know it's acting, but how did it feel to just be in a world where it's full of zombies and stuff? She looks at me into the windows of my soul. She says, it's just acting. I'm like, I know, but like...
I just said that.
Yeah, like, how did it feel? Just acting. I mean, it's just people in costumes and makeup. I'm like...
You're supposed to become this character. What the fuck, bro?
Yes, like, I'm basically just asking you, how did it feel to become just a whole different character in a world where it just went to shit? And you just tell me it's acting? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. Like... could give me a little bit of a better answer than that, but yeah,
some actors just, that's their thing though. It's just a paycheck, it's just a job.
Yes, unfortunately. She did mention that like she wasn't really like much into it. She just said like it was just an acting gig. I'm not really into zombies like that, which, you know, that's fair, that's fine. I guess personally for me, if I was an actor, I would definitely like to see stuff that I've been in, especially something really big like that. Like I would be personally interested, but you know,
you gotta become your character.
Yeah, like I would cringe, don't get me wrong. Like I've been in like two plays and there's videos of it. Yeah, I cringe, but I still would like to see myself because like it's me on the big screen, you know, and I actually like to kind of see how I turned out, whatever. But point being, she was mid. I guess the only other Walking Dead character I met was a definite very, very side character. What's his name? Robin Lord Taylor, who he plays the Penguin in Gotham. And
I remember him in there.
Mm-hmm. And it was the guy for, you know, any the people watching so that they know who I'm talking about. They are the person that when they went to Terminus, he was the guy with the blonde hair and got his head bashed in with a metal bat and throat slit right open and then disrespected right in front of everyone. I was like, ooh, that's my boy. Ooh, that's crazy. Damn. But yeah, he was a nice guy. But again, Andrea, ooh, not great in person, not great in the show. Sorry.
That does go into one of the things I did want to talk about as well. But to kind of piggyback off of what Mahone was talking about first is in regards of the shock value, right? Great example is Game of Thrones. Season one, if you expected things by the time season one was done, you were dumb. That show, and the books, obviously, that's what they're based off of, but just because most people haven't read the books, the show itself gave you this show is not going to be what I expected. One of the main characters and the most beloved in the series dies an episode before the finale of the first season, right? Ned Stark. Freaking, and it's it's not like it's surprising either, but it is, because you see the downfall, but then you think, oh, because of these type of shows that we've seen, something's going to happen. He's going to get rescued. They're going to forgive him. The plan's going to go to fruition, and it doesn't. And when I watched that episode for the very first time, my jaw, I couldn't pick it up from the floor. It quite literally stayed there for about 5 minutes until it started, it started to hurt. So I had to, stop doing that. And that's the trend for the entire series is shock value. The Red Wedding, for example, I did not see that coming. And holy crap, I'm glad, because it was one of the craziest turn points in the series. And what?
I just want to say two things. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I was just smiling because you were smiling, because like Game of Thrones makes me happy. Only because I'm the kind of person who... I'll watch something that I know that I'm going to love, especially if I've read the source material or I'm familiar with it. Whereas my wife, she's different. So I watched Game of Thrones beginning to end and Walking Dead beginning to end before she started it. And I'm the kind of guy that'll, I'll sit there and watch her reaction as she's watching shit that I've already seen. I mean, like, all right, let's see how you feel about this. And that's how I was with the Red Wedding. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, what's that song that's playing all of a sudden? Oh, shit. Oh, man. What's about to happen? But right before we get to that, when I first watched Game of Thrones, I knew that Ned Stark was going to die, just because Sean Bean, who plays Ned Stark, dies in literally everything that he's in. So I just assumed that he was just going to just follow the trend. So I was like, all right, well, I mean, Ned Stark's going to he's going to die. But
Sean Bean has died.
That happens, though, when you watch it, you're like, that it's still, you're like, holy fuck. Right in front of his daughter. You're like, God damn. I was like, that's brutal.
Sean Bean has not died in National Treasure, the only movie he has not died in. And everyone forgets that.
Well, I mean, when I think of National Treasure, I can only think of Nick fucking Cage. I'm going to steal the fucking Declaration of Independence. It's the only thing I think of when I think of National Treasure. But where I was going with this is that the Red Wedding scene, my wife was just like, she's watching it. She's like, oh, this is great. They're getting married and everybody's fucking toasting and everything's great. And as soon as the fucking band starts playing the fucking
Reigns of Castamere,
the Reigns of Castamere, and it's the fucking theme song of fucking the Lannisters, essentially, this is how I sat. I just stared at her, and she noticed that I was staring at her before like everything hit the fan. She's like, why are you looking at me? And I'm like, because I know what's about to happen. Just watch. And just watching her face going from like cool to like and she was just so fucking shocked. And I was just like, yeah, that's right. Yep. Feel the pain that I felt when I first watched it. Be shocked like I was. Do it.
Guessing something really bad happened, because I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Then we have spoiled a lot.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
No, it's good. I'll probably watch it regardless at some point.
But even if you don't watch Game of Thrones from beginning to end, you just watch the Red Wedding episode, because holy fuck, that's such a good episode. Like,
honestly, that ties into what I was saying too. It's the shock value is so good because of, like you were saying, Mahone, the writing. The writing's there to make every character, and Game of Thrones does this so well. No matter how small, they're still impactful to the story if we are introduced to them name-wise, right? Or even just like seeing them. And that's one thing I think The Walking Dead kind of fell off on, was a lot of characters just came and went. Yes, it was an apocalyptic show, but a lot of, and it could have just been to acting schedules, not being interested, the writers themselves, they just came and went so frequently, and we only had stability with like that inner circle, right? And so though, that's what we cling on to. We didn't care much about the outside circle, whereas with Game of Thrones, you cared about all these characters, right? Especially since most of these, you're seeing things through their perspective. There's full episodes through their perspective. And so, like Jon Snow's betrayal, when that happened, when I tell you, I know everyone who hasn't read the books and watched that show for the first time, when they saw that, pure shock value. And that still goes into saying, that's the difference between the two shows. You can have someone that everyone loves, someone that everyone has grown with, someone that you have watched 5-6 seasons with, and you have gotten so attached to this character. And to see this character die, you know what the Game of Thrones character people did? I didn't hear anyone riot. I didn't hear people stop watching because of that. But the difference is with The Walking Dead, that happened. And it's always the same effing people with Glenn. Never with Abraham. Not with Sasha. Not with Tyrese. Not with any of the other characters. It was just Glenn's death. And what you also said, Mahone, he died in the comics the exact same way. That was panel by panel perfection replication. And I don't think, I mean, obviously comics came out a while ago, and to my knowledge, I didn't hear anyone rioting about that, right? Because it's part of that world. It's the unexpected. Even though you're still attached to these characters, you don't know what's going to happen. So I think it also comes down to just like the writing and how they build these characters and just the audience themselves. Because if, for me, Glenn died, that was heartbroken. I actually cared more about Abraham, if I'm being honest, at that point than Glenn, because Abraham was having such a good arc, even though he was kind of cheated on his girl and was going to a new chick. I still was attached to Abraham more than I was attached to Glenn. So when Abraham died like a champ, man, I was like, Abraham, you a man. And then Glenn died, and I was like, yo, this is sad and effed up. But I'm kind of mourning Abraham a little bit more. Let's be honest here.
Abraham's final words, suck my nuts.
Dude, for real.
I'll say I remember exactly, because I was like a little kid when it happened. And I was going to my dad's school the next day. And that's when I saw the episode. And I was like, no way. So I remember shock value wise. So there were a lot of people that were shocked. They still continue to watch the show, just like me. But there were other people that were saying, no, that was way too violent. That was way too gory, too brutal. They stopped watching the show, not just for the fact that Glenn died and Abraham died, but literally just for the fact that apparently, which surprisingly out of everything, we see Rick literally rip someone's throat open with his teeth.
Yep.
But this was too brutal,
we're also seeing the innards of zombies pouring out when they're cutting and stabbing, so.
Right.
My bat's a vampire bat.
Right, like, or even seeing people just getting ripped apart. I mean, for God's sake, what's the one dude, the one character who almost got Glenn killed? You know who I'm talking about, like the TV's most hated character.
Oh, at the dumpster?
Yeah, the scene at the dumpster, yep.
I thought you were going to talk about the dude that played Chris from Everybody Hates Chris. I thought you were going to talk about that scene.
Oh my gosh. First of all, I was so sad. His death was terrible, where they ripped his cheek open.
His was effed, yeah.
Terrible. But like, again, like a lot of people with that shock factor was literally because it was too gory, not just for Glenn. So I do remember that aspect that people stopped watching because of those two factors, which was just really interesting to me.
And that does still go into the next point too, which is still the writing, right? The writing of this series, the worst thing is there were some very good moments, right? Season 2 was entirely the farm, right? That was just the farm arc. In the comics, that arc was stupid short. It was not anywhere near as long. However, yeah. The farm, I grew bored, but I also was still interested at the same time, if you know what I mean. Because, yes, I'm tired of us still being here. It seems like it's dragging on. But we're still seeing the degrading of Shane, right? His mental decline even further, especially after he shaved his head after killing that one, like we mentioned, the farmer's, or Herschel's son-in-law? Something like that? Son? Anyways, after that. And then we get to that pinnacle moment with Carol's daughter being found, right? And then we see, okay, who's really gonna step up, right? Like, there was just so much happening there. But then we get towards like the governor and the Andrea stuff, and I didn't like her character in season 1. Season 2, I really didn't like her character. And the worst thing is, in season 3, I hated her character. And it's not because she's a bad character, like a evil character, right? It's because she's badly written and badly portrayed. The actress, look, I'm not here to take a dump on everybody's freaking skill set, but that actress is pretty bad. Like, you can tell she was annoyed being there because she kind of plays the same person in every single role she is. And I'm imagining that's how she is in real life, too, where it's literally just this annoyed woman who's been smoking for 40 years and isn't going to take any crap from anyone ever. And is just going to do what she wants because she's a strong, independent woman. And I'm just like, girl, shut the frick up. Like, it was so annoying. And the fact that she was simping over the wrong dudes was even worse. She simped for the governor when there was clearly reasons to not. She was simping for Shane only because, I don't know, she's just attracted to bad guys? I'm like, dude, what is... And the worst thing
is,
too... I think
with Shane, like, he was, like, arming her. He was giving her a gun when she couldn't have a gun. He was taking her on side missions to kind of, like, prepare her.
Yeah, she was the side mission.
When it comes to the actress who played Andrea, I think what went downhill for her, and again, we're, you know, like you said, we're not trying to take a dump on anybody who's, you know, that, I mean, this is their job, this is their livelihood. But I think what happened with her is that the person who created Walking Dead for television, we're not talking about the dude who Robert made Kirkman. Walking Dead in the comics. But we're talking about the dude who brought it to life. He was the same guy who made the movie The Mist.
Oh, that's a lot of movie.
A lot of his other movies, he uses the same actors and actresses in those movies. And the woman who played Andrea, she was in The Mist. The actor who played... what the fuck is his name now that I can't think of it all of a sudden? Crazy Eyes, fucking Dale.
Crazy Eyes?
Yeah, because he always had those eyes when he was like talking serious with people. His eyes were always like bug eyed.
Wow, I don't know if I never thought of it like that.
But... Go back and watch that, and you'll be like, "Oh shit, Mahomes was right."
Shane.
Yeah, he always his eyes were always like Shane. It's doing some crazy shit. Anyway, but he was in he was in The Mist as well, and some other movies that he made. Frank Darabont is his name. Anyway, is the guy who made the original showrunner for Walking Dead. Once he was let go from the show, I think a lot of the people that he brought in himself just kind of gave up. They were just like, fuck this show, whatever. I'm here for a paycheck and I'm just trying to like kind of just be here to be here. And I think we see that with, the chick that played Andrea. She was kind of just like, oh, whatever. I'll just, I just want to get paid and be done with it. Because obviously, if you think about it, Andrea was a like pivotal part of the comic. Her and Rick were like an item for like a decent amount of time in the comic. Whereas like somebody like Carol like committed suicide via Walker in the comics.
Dude, the way she went out in the comics was actually effed. She starts off trying to have a thruple with Rick and Carol. Or Coral. Laurel? Lori? Lori.
Lori?
Thank you. Lori. She's Lori. Trying to have a thrumple with them and basically was getting rejected by both. And she still has her daughter. Her daughter didn't die. This is at the prison, by the way. And she's like, kind of just like, can't feel. Like she's like so emotionally damaged. And so the only person who she thinks would like love her was this zombie that they had holding up out on the perimeter. And so she's talking to the zombie, and then like it was weird, everyone's like, yo, what the frick is she doing, why is she over by that zombie? And then she like gets close and it just rips a part of her neck, and she basically just like gets off of getting bit, and she dies, and her daughter sees the whole thing, and her daughter, who already was effed up, gets even more effed up afterwards.
Wow, I did not know that. That's
a lot different than what we saw on the show.
it's dark.
But that's what happens because there's
it's so
people
bad.
Who watch these shows, and there's people who are invested in these characters, and that's the reason why they haven't killed off the Daryls and the Carols, and, you know, because there's so many people who buy their merchandise or who are tweeting, and, you know, they don't want these characters to die. So the people that are creating these shows are like, oh, well, I mean, I feel kind of, I don't want to kill them off because I feel there's going to be a terrible backlash. But it's like, but it's a fucking zombie apocalypse, dude. Like, you're not going to have the same fucking 10 people that started the show to end the show 12 years later. I mean, a lot can happen in a year, let alone 12 years. So it's like, I mean, you gotta take some risks, take some chances. Yeah, you might lose some people who are like, fuck this, I can't believe they killed XYZ off. But, and that, my wife's the same way. They killed fucking Glenn off, and she was so mad. And I'm like, but dude, that's exactly how it happens in the comics. Well, I didn't read the comics. I watched the show. And I'm like, don't you want, like, you watch Grey's Anatomy. They kill off fucking everybody, dude. Like, come on now. Like, that's why you watch a show like this. I don't want to watch a show about the world going to shit when nothing goes to shit. Boring. I could just watch real life.
I will say two things. One of them is a different topic, but regarding The Walking Dead, and then this one. There is a show, I don't know if you guys heard about it, but apparently it was like a lower budget competition with The Walking Dead. It's called Z Nation. That show, I actually thought it was really good. Didn't get to finish it yet. I do want to, but it is actually pretty accurate to what Mahone's saying, where there's not a single character that you could really stay with because they'll just die. Like, they had their equivalent of Rick within like the first or second season, give or take, and then dude dies just like that. And we have our Michonne in the show, we have our like Daryl and all that stuff, but you never know who's gonna die, which is like, oh damn. But it was still also good. It was a funny show. Yes, it was lower budget, but you know, it was in a sense realistic in the aspect of, don't get too attached to any character. No matter how badass they are, someone will die, whether it's a main character, whether it's a random character. You just can't stay attached to them, which that really reminded me, Mahone, of what you were saying of like, oh, they should have, you know, the freedom to kill off whoever they want, because in reality it's a zombie apocalypse. No matter how badass someone is, someone will always slip up. Someone will always die, no matter like how good they are. It just happens. I mean, for example, Carl. Carl died. Carl was a badass. He was amazing. He had an amazing shot. Even with an eye patch, he was still a better shot than I ever could be in my entire life. Like, even with those skills, you're bound to slip up. We're human. We make mistakes. So it's more realistic in that aspect, you know? But before anything else, I did want to ask one more question about you guys, about your guys' thoughts on something. So, you know that throughout this series, I don't know if they had anything in the comics, but recently, within like the past 2 or 3 years or so, Robert Kirkman essentially confirmed the start of how the virus like started. And he said that it was apparently a like disease or a virus that came from outer space, came down, infected everyone, and that's how the zombie apocalypse started. Because, you know, they never really go into the origins of it. Now, I know that for all this time, us not knowing, Robert Kirkman said it was just really stupid. Like, I don't want to tell anyone. The only person who knows is me. No one else knows. And then he finally comes out with it, but he just said that it just wasn't important. So I wanted to know what you guys thought about this. I think it's personally kind of unique. It's also weird because then it kind of just brings aliens into the mix as well for The Walking Dead. But, like, he did confirm that it was a virus that came from space, infected the whole planet, and then that's how the zombie apocalypse started. So, like, I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on that. Like, do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you think it's dumb? Do you think it's unique compared to other zombie apocalypses, like World War Z, where it's, like, a chemical thing that just, like, misspread, whatever? What do you guys think?
Mahon, go ahead.
I think I'm indifferent only because I don't really care how it started, to be honest with you. It's almost like Michael Myers. Like, he was the shape. He was the guy stalking you. I didn't need the Rob Zombie movies to know he was, like, abused as a kid. Like, I don't need his backstory. Like, I don't, you know, a zombie apocalypse happens. I don't care how it happened. It could be biochemical. It could be from space. They could eat a bad mushroom. I don't give a shit how it happened. At the end of the day, it happened. I mean, knowing how it happens not going to stop it from happening. I mean, you know, it could happen whatever way it is. I mean, so at the end of the day, it's just kind of like, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you knew it was something, you know, obviously something started it, whether it be, you know, somebody that was sick with a virus, or if it was a biological thing, or, you know, chemical warfare, or whatever the case may be. I mean,
I think I just get too invested in, like, the creativity of how everyone's, like, different zombie apocalypse are. At least for me, for some reason, I get interested in that creative difference, like, where World War Z, chemicals, and maybe, like, The Last of Us, it was, like, the parasitic
fungus
mold. Which is, like, based off a real fungus, which is kind of scary. But regardless, like, I like those creative differences. So I guess that's why I really like knowing, like, okay, so how did your zombie apocalypse start? You know what I mean? But that's just me. But Zeus.
I mean, I'm kind of like, I wouldn't say I'm indifferent per se. I think it's interesting, to say the least. I'm a little disappointed that it's an alien virus, so to speak. Because, yeah, like you said, it brings in aliens into this, which is kind of retarded. I mean, like, why am I watching a zombie apocalypse series? Why am I reading a zombie apocalypse series when this is all because of aliens? Like, that kind of, like, it downplays it a little bit. To Mahone's point, I also don't care at the same time. Like, at this point of the story, right, which is essentially concluded, they never really go back for any research on this. They never really try to cure it. In fact, it basically dies off because of lack of food. Everyone's already got their defenses up. Everyone's adapted to this world. So I think that him revealing it, I think it was kind of dumb, but I think it's also because he's been bombarded year after year, panel after panel, with people asking, how did this start? You never said how it started. I think it should have been a more realistic approach, like World War Z, like The Last of Us, where it's something based in realism that could have caused it. Because at the same time, it wasn't any... The zombie apocalypse, in some way, shape, or form, is plausible. Like, The Last of Us delve into the plausibility of it because of the fungus, right? Like, we see that there's zombie deer, IRL, right? Like, that there are insects, animals, diseases that can infect other animals and insects to become zombie-like or zombie-esque. Heck, there's some drugs that can turn people temporarily into zombies. Like,
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah. So I think it could have been cool if he would have went into the fact that, hey, maybe it was some kind of, like, COVID lab test, right? Where they were doing some chemical warfare thing, or maybe they were testing on a new cure for cancer and ended up being the zombie virus. You know, something based in realism could have made things more interesting and could have also explained why it was harder to cure. At the same time, obviously, a zombie virus, you can't really cure that because, or I'm sorry, alien virus, you can't really cure aliens, despite what a lot of countries try to do. But that's not the point. It's like, I don't think that that should have been revealed if that was the true origin. It should have been something real. But at the same time, since they don't really go further into a cures past the first season, but even in the show, they don't even care because it's not that important. No one's there unless you are a group of scientists. No one gives a crap about a cure because you know you don't have the resources to make it. You don't have the time to make it. You don't have the personnel to make it. And you don't really have the materials to make it. So what is your main and only priority in an apocalyptic world? Survival. So I don't think it's necessary for people to know what the origin is unless you're starting the series off at that point. Then that's something that people can worry about. But even then, again, like we see in Fear of the Walking Dead, I only watched a couple of episodes of the first season. More people were worried about survival than they were about a cure. Like, governments can be worried about a cure. People are not worried about the cure. But that's
it's true. If you're just a regular human being, like, if you don't have the knowledge or the resources or anything like that, that's the last thing you're thinking about because you have no idea how to do it. You don't even know where to start. I just want to, right now, being the person that I am today, not in the Walking Dead universe, just me being me, I'm worried about my wife and my kids. That's all I give a shit about. I want to make sure that we're safe, we're alive, we can get from point A to point B, we have the medication that we need, we have the resources that we need, things like that. Now, obviously, if time goes on and we meet up with a scientist that's like, I have an idea of how I can fix this or whatever, then yeah, maybe you might look into that. You might try to help them find the resources they need or help them get to a place where they could test this or study this or whatever. You know, it all depends on, you know, how things play out. If I have a kid that's sick and they're going to become a zombie soon, maybe I'll be more, you know, wanting to try to stop this or figure it out or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, which sucks. I mean, you don't want to say that all you care about is your immediate family, but I mean, that we're human beings. I mean, that's all, you know, we could have really good friends, we could have acquaintances, but at the end of the day, you're worried about your people that you have been around your entire life. You know, you care about your parents and your siblings and your, you know, you don't give a shit about your best friend's sister or, you know, I mean, like you're, you know, you care if it's not a zombie apocalypse. Like if your best friend says like, oh man, I'm like, you know, my sister's really sick right now and it fucking sucks. You're like, oh dude, I'm so sorry. You know, is there anything you can, you know, you need? But if there's fucking zombies trying to break through the window and shit, like, I'm sorry for your, you know, your bad luck. I hope it gets better. That's about it. You know, you're not gonna fucking leave the house to try to go help your best friend's sister who's got the flu. I mean, you're worried about making sure that your wife and your kids or your significant other or whoever, you know, your immediate family are protected and safe. So, you know, it's human nature. I mean, that's just a part of life.
And bro says sucks to suck. That's wild.
Sucks to be you.
I mean, to be real, that's how 99% of the population will be in those situations. Yeah. But we are going to go ahead and wrap this podcast up here. So we're going to start with our final thoughts on this topic. We are nowhere near done talking about this for sure. So you can expect us to come back talking about this episode or this topic for sure. And if you want us to talk about anything specific, please let us know on social media or in the comments below. But we'll start with you, Mahone. Any final thoughts on really anything that we kind of went over tonight?
I mean, final thoughts. Obviously, I apologize to anybody who's watching our podcast and has not watched The Walking Dead. Sorry for the spoilers that we've gone into. Mm-hmm. But if you have watched it a little bit here and there and you're kind of like wishy-washy or not sure if you want to go back to it or if you're like, you know, like my wife, you gave up after the whole fucking Negan introduction and stuff. I promise you, just like any television show that you've ever watched, there's ups and downs in TV. It happens, you know, especially if a show is on for 10, 12, how many ever seasons, every episode can't be a banger. I mean, it's just a part of life. I mean, it's just like anything in life, sports, entertainment, you know, you're not going to be able to hit it out of the park all the time. But I'm telling you this right now, The Walking Dead, start to finish, all the spinoffs, it's fantastic. It's entertainment. Don't overthink it. It's not, you know, you're not gonna win Oscars and all these crazy awards for everything. Like, if you just want to lose yourself in another world, in another situation, just to kind of get yourself out of day-to-day life, watch it start to finish. It's fantastic. You know, there's a lot of actors who have done incredible work on the show. There's writers that do incredible work. Obviously, makeup effects artists and stuff like that. Definitely check it out. You know, don't give up on it. It's not like it's not a trash show for any stretch of the imagination. Watch it. Pick it back up. I think the thing about Walking Dead, because it being a zombie apocalypse and stuff like that, you don't really have to watch it from like at the beginning. Like if you have seen the first couple seasons and you want to just pick it back up somewhere, you don't really have to like pick it back up where you left off, because you know, at the end of the day, you can kind of like figure it out as it goes along. But it's just fun. You know, it's almost like, you know, the summer blockbusters, popcorn movie experience, you know, just sit back, just enjoy what you're watching and just have fun with it. That's all you got
to
do.
Honestly, great. That's a great way to describe it. DP, what are your final thoughts here?
I say the same in agreeance with Mahone, where yes, there are some people that are probably going to be like, oh, I don't really feel like finishing the show, whatever. I guarantee you give it a shot, you'll like it. If you don't like the zombie aspect, you'll love the drama aspect of it. The high stakes are amazing. Mahone can even speak for me. I have not finished the Ones Who Live just yet, but I am one episode away from catching up, and the high stakes with Michonne, like with Rick and Michonne, if they leave where they're at, their entire community is they could die, you know, like literally just high stakes, really heavy things. And I kind of try to put myself in those perspectives. I'm like, wow, I never really thought, I didn't expect such like a heavy high stake thing. Like, okay, you know, he'll try to escape, go back to his family. No, they still, that's the one thing that I appreciate about Walking Dead, you know, the whole AMC aspect. These people know how to bring high stakes into the stories to where it keeps your interest. You're like, okay, I want to see, will they die? Will they survive? Who's going to die? Will they even make it back at this point? Because it's not even following the comics anymore. And that's what I kind of like, which like, yes, I want it to follow the comics, you know, the main show. But I don't expect these to like follow the comics at all. But that's the best part. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to live, who's going to die. And that's what brings my interest. So if you're still contemplating on watching this, yes, you know, I agree with Mahone. You don't have to watch it from the beginning. That was my hardest part when I was trying to restart it, and when I was trying to watch it with Lucky. I was like, the first season's so long, it's slow. But what I kept pushing myself and pushing Lucky is, I promise you, the drama gets so much better after like season two. Season two is good, but like later on, that's when things start picking up. You're starting to like the characters more. You're engaging with the show more. So if you give the show a shot, I can guarantee you, you will really like the direction that it will go, and you'll actually have fun with it. You'll love to talk about it. You'll want to tell someone, wow, this happened. This is crazy. Like, I wonder what I would have done in this situation. And it just builds that conversation. So check out the show. Check out the spinoffs. Spinoffs are great. Fantastic. Absolutely love them. So give it a shot. I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed.
I mean, I don't have the same sentiment as them, I'm not going to lie. I think you're better off just reading the comics. I think the show, first season, it's rough. It's really rough. And it's rough, dude. And I hate shows that you have to get past the first season for it to be good. People try to say that about The Office. I'm like, no, if it's bad, it's bad. And when I first...
Breaking Bad was the same way.
Hey, I said what I said.
Bro, I couldn't get past the first like three episodes of Breaking Bad. I tried to watch it like two or three times in a row, and I'm like, fuck this. And everybody's like, I can't believe you've not watched Breaking Bad. And I finally got through it and was like, oh shit, okay, it's a really good show. But holy fuck, that first season was rough.
See, and that's the thing. If you need to get past a first season for it to get good, it wasn't good. That show shouldn't have gotten a second season. So my opinion... You're better off reading the comics. Do I think the latter seasons
Zeus
are good?
Being Zeus.
Look, I'm just being real. Do I think the latter seasons are good? Heck yeah, but that's because I was watching it pretty episodically. So I was already invested. And my taste in things were different then than they are now. Rewatching it now, like DP says, like everyone says, the first season's so rough. But you've already gone through it, so you can suffer through it. So I think, hey, if you don't want to go through that whole first season spiel, you can either just skip it, I'll be completely honest, or just don't watch the show and just go read the comics that are way better and more interesting. And also, there's just way too many spinoffs. But hey, we can talk about that in the next episode. So thank you guys so much for watching this podcast episode. It's a little bit longer, one of our longer ones, but appreciate you guys watching and sticking it out if you're still here. DP, thanks for being here. I know we've tried to get you on here for a while. Schedule sucked. Mahone, thank you. Oh my gosh, the freaking thumbs up. Mahone,
thanks. Can I say one more thing?
What's up? Say
I just want to say one more thing.
Say your thing.
Just remember, everybody, the reason why the show is called The Walking Dead is because the human beings are the walking dead. It's not the zombies.
That's also a fact. That's a line from the comics, too.
That's a fact.
But yes, Mahone, thanks for guest starring on here. I'm sure we'll have you on this podcast again. Been a pleasure. It's been fun. And again, thank you guys so much for watching and listening. Let us know what you guys want to see us, hear us talk about in general, I guess, or just Walking Dead related. I'm Captain Zeus, and I'll catch you guys later. See ya.